Welcome back to the Voices of Women Summit, where in honor of International Women's Day 2024, we are raising the voices of hundreds of women so that their messages can be heard. Your host for this session is Kimberly Crow. Kimberly is the founder of Entrepreneurs Rocket Fuel and Speakers Playhouse, as well as the creator of the Voices of Women Summit. She has another amazing guest coming right up. Take it away, Kimberly.
Hey, folks, I'm back. And I just want to know if you guys are getting value out of this event. If you are, please put value in the chat box, throw some love in the chat box, or let us know if there was a particular speaker who has already made your day amazing by throwing us some love in the chat box. It is audience participation time. We want to hear from you. Up next, I have the amazing and talented and absolutely delightful human being, Deborah S. Greenhut, PhD. She's going to talk about a subject that is very close to a lot of our hearts right now, caregiving, and specifically caregiver care. Her talk is You Can't Do This Alone, Three Guerrilla Survival Techniques for Rational Caregivers. Welcome to the program, Deborah.
Thank you so much. It's great to be with you today, Kimberly.
It's a delight to have you in my room. I'm so glad you're here. This is such an important topic for so many. I know they talk about the sandwich generation where you're caring for kids and also parents as they age. But being caregiver can be very, very draining, and we're supposed to just suck it up and do it all as well. And it can be very exhausting. So I'm delighted that we're talking about this. But before we get into the strategies, tell us how you became so passionate about this particular area.
Well, I became a family caregiver when my dad passed away suddenly. I mean, my mother passed away suddenly, and my dad was left alone and needed some help. And it was just the most overwhelming experience I had ever had in my life. I really was not at all prepared for it. So I didn't learn my lesson, and I became a family caregiver two more times. But in each of those intervals, I started learning, well, you know, everyone says this is a heart-centered enterprise, caring, and it is. We do it because we love somebody. But what you really need is to become a manager. So that's been my focus through the second two caregiving episodes. How can I learn to do that? And what are the tools that I need? Because I was a manager. And for some reason, I just set all that aside and said, oh, okay, I'll do everything. I'll be superwoman. I'll take care of it.
Sorry, go ahead. I was just agreeing with you.
Thank you. Yeah, I had certainly been a superwoman through the mom phase of my own children who were just about grown up, ready to go to college when my mom passed away. So I just went once right back into it in order to take care of my dad. And I learned so much from that, but those were very hard lessons. And I don't think we have to start over every time that someone has to do it. But there are a billion people who are disabled in this world. This is a global problem. And those billion people need a caregiver. So that means another billion people probably are also likewise engaged. And that's a quarter of the whole population of the world that has to deal with caregiving from the needing end to the giving end. So I was wondering if people could put in the chat a one if they are caregivers. Can we do that?
Yeah. And how do you define caregivers? Is it a full-time caregiver? Is it part-time? Is it only for parents? Is it for parents and kids? Is it like who can you give us a definition of what you consider a caregiver?
Sure. I would say it's any family member who is taking care of another. And it could be a part-time job or part-time labor of love, or it could be full-time. And what I found over time is that eventually it erodes into a full-time job for someone. Typically women, although there are men who are caregivers, but often it is assigned to an unmarried daughter in many families. That's a typical scenario around the world. So I wasn't an unmarried daughter, I did have a family, and I had already raised my family with my husband, so we had had that caregiving experience. We don't often think of it as the child-rearing years as being the same, but there are a lot of the same factors that come into play there in terms of learning to manage and not being suckered in by your emotions to doing things that overwhelm you or stress you out.
All right, so we got four people who said, yep, that's me. So Amy Spring, definitely. And then Jill is resonating with that, and Paula also. So, all right, we've got several people who are here currently identifying as that, but there may be other people here as well who either know caregivers and want to protect them from a little bit of burnout, or who are expecting that maybe is going to happen soon in their future. So we can get like some advice before it gets too bad, as we're stepping into it.
Yeah, it's something Rosalynn Carter said. She was, in addition to being the former First Lady, she was also the director of the Institute for Caregivers. And she said that there are only four kinds of people in the world: those who are caregivers, those who will be caregivers, those who will need a caregiver, and those who have been caregivers. So every one of us will do it at some point across our ages, for the most part. So it's something we have to live with, and we could make it better.
And the process better and easier for everybody. All right, well, let's get into it. What is technique number one that is the guerrilla survival technique for rational caregivers?
Well, there are a lot of ways that I could position this, but I think if you're going to think like a manager, you need to think in order to thrive. You can't just plunge in emotionally and think you're going to get everything done. It doesn't work that way. So what I've been trying to do for myself whenever I help someone is to let my rational brain calm my runaway heart. My heart's in there. Caregiving's in my DNA. My dad was a doctor, mom was a nurse. So that's my first impulse. Okay, I'll help you.
I'll help.
But I also, yeah, and I'm sure many people fall into that out of the goodness of their hearts. But the problem becomes that I'm so busy feeling for the person that I don't take time to take care of myself. And that's why caregivers are suffering a lot of burnout. I don't know if you heard that statistic that as you age, if you get into your 70s still doing caregiving, it usually starts around age 42. That's the average. But if you do it for 30 years, there's a chance you will die before the person you're caring for. And it's usually stress related, so heart disease, diabetes, or hypertension. So those are the things you really want to think about. Well, how can I protect myself first? You know that saying, put on your mask first
Yes.
before you help someone else.
So why is it that people have heard that phrase so many times, and that it's sort of like a yeah, but, right? Like I know how many times I have heard that, and still I find myself and others that I know, love, and trust that fall into that trap so quickly. Like, just let me solve the problem for my kids first, and then I'll deal with me. Just let me solve the problem for my parents first, and then I'll deal with me. Or let me solve the problem for my boss or whoever else, right? And then I'll deal with me. And they never seem to get around. I'm gonna put we on that. We never seem to get around with actually putting our own mask on, ever, let alone first. Why do you think that is?
Well, I have a theory. I don't think anyone's investigated this yet, but when you love someone, all those wonderful endorphins and the other chemicals are flying, and we like those. So I think, we're looking for that kind of gratification, and there's so little other gratification because it's often a tragic situation that brings you to caregiving, that love is the one thing that you can continue to sustain there. So we keep doing and we keep doing because we think, well, at least I feel good about what I'm doing, but we don't stop and think about, well, how are we going to be at the other end? Are we going to be in worse shape than the person, or are we going to be able to survive and thrive so that we can take care of ourselves and enjoy our lives afterwards? Caregivers end up giving up so much of what's important to them. Their businesses, I've done that. They give up hobbies, their interests. They don't see their children or grandchildren because they're too busy. So all the things that make life worth living tend to get sidelined by taking care of one person. So that's a lot, but think to thrive. How are you going to survive? That's number one.
Think to thrive. How are you going to survive? I love that. Well, you're resonating a lot with our audience. We've got Amy, Indigo, Barbie, Art, and more saying she's not wrong. So we are definitely with you. And all right, so the first thing is think to thrive. How are you going to survive? That's strategy number one, the guerrilla technique to make sure that you survive this process. All right.
Right, so put your own survival first. The second one would be think like a manager. You are one. If you are the caregiver in charge, you're the family caregiver, a lot of times people will tend to ignore you because you're just there picking up supplies for the person or fetching things. But that's not true. You are planning, leading, organizing, and controlling. That makes you a manager. And I hadn't thought about it that way because I was so overwhelmed with the feelings of it, but that's exactly what you need to do. So people may not honor you with the title, but that's who you are. And I could give you the example of Mother Teresa. She did not personally take care of everyone. She had saints all over the world that she managed. And yes, she would step up and she would step in and be available and occasionally would put her hands on someone and be caring. And I'm not saying she wasn't, but I am saying she knew how to manage that enterprise. So that's the model I would rather have than someone who is self-sacrificing and not taking very good care. So planning, leading, organizing, and controlling, those are the four things you are doing. Take the title. You earned it.
So what if you are doing it and you're feeling like you're doing it all alone and you do not have a cast of thousands helping you? It's all up to you. Is it really all up to you, or are there people that we can bring in for different aspects?
Right. Well, I coach people and counsel people every day who don't know, for example, that there might be a department of aging in their town. And
I did not know that.
Well, if you haven't had to find it, you probably, didn't think about it before. But every day I look up resources for people, or I find them a link to their own Department of Aging or senior citizens. There's probably a senior center in most reasonably large situations. And the other thing is there is a category of employment called geriatric social worker. Those people are so informed about the resources that you will need. It's not even just, are there any resources, but what exactly would I need? So I've had the opportunity to speak with a couple of geriatric social workers, and they were so helpful to me. And the first thing they said to me was, you can't do this alone. And then they gave me a list of places that I needed to check. So there is some help out there. Now, fortunately during COVID, there was a lot of extra money floating around for medical things like this. So family caregivers in at least certain economic brackets started to be paid. But I just read the other day that Indiana is going to stop it because the federal money is not coming in anymore to do it. So this is another kind of thing that we're going to face. And we need to mobilize and find the resources that are there, but also to create some new resources for it. And I think families, the larger family, has to start stepping up. One person can't do it alone.
Well, I'm sure that you're right. Okay, so number one, I think we're still on number one, which is so deep for your guerrilla survival techniques. What's number two?
Well, two was think like a manager.
Think like a manager. You're right. I'm sorry.
That's okay. It's a long day.
And managing all the different people. And if there are different people, do you strategize if you have siblings, right? And so you don't want it to all be you. Do you strategize on one small thing they can help you with? Like maybe you can at least write the thank you notes, or maybe at least you can do the, the bring in, like, can you order supplies for mom and dad or whatever it is? Can you give them like task oriented things for them to contribute, even if they can't be there full time?
Well, some family members will step up and do one or two things, but every day I hear from people whose families, including mine, will not help you. Mm-hmm. So that's been a kind of pandemic problem for caregiving. And that's why we need to start looking at more social supports for it, because it's not going away. And that problem's only going to get larger. So it's not enough to assume your family's going to help you. You might be very surprised to hear who wouldn't. But I think having a specific task in mind is good. That's part of the organizing. If you know a discrete task that you can assign to someone, that is helpful when people will step up.
Okay. All right. What's number three? What's our next guerrilla survival technique?
Number three is know your bottom line. What are your boundaries for this? What is it that you will and won't do? And you need to tell your family, here's what I won't do. Because what you'll find is, as long as you keep doing things, people will assume you're going to keep doing things. So if you know that you can't do it 24 hours a day anymore, and this has happened to me where I was a lone caregiver for a partner, if you know you can't do it anymore, you need to tell them and you need to walk away. Mm. You need to walk out of the situation or say, I'm going out at 9 o'clock and you need to find coverage. And sometimes this doesn't go very well. I understand there's a lot of conflict there and some situations may be more leaveable than others, let's say. But if you don't have these three things, recognition, respect, and respite, you're not going to make it. So for that bottom line, are you recognizing that I'm a caregiver, which means I'm managing care? Do you respect me or do you think I'm serving you in some way? I'm your servant. And will you give me respite so that I can come back and do my job again? Those are the three things.
I just typed that in the chat because that's gold right there. You need to be recognized as a caregiver. You need to be respected, not like, I don't work for you. I'm here as a caregiver. And will they give you respite? Will they give you a time to be able to not be in the caregiver role so that you can do something else? Wow, that was absolute, really, really powerful stuff and honest strategies and things that we can look at so that it's not something where we end up being either playing the victim or victimized in some way, struggling with this really important love-based service that we're doing, but making sure that we take care of ourselves at the same time. I think it's powerful, your statistic, that you have the potential of passing away. If you are a long-term caregiver, it's potential that you would pass away before the person you're caring for just from stress and overwhelm. So let's put a stop to that. And let's make sure that we are taking care and respite and being respected and making sure that we are taking care of ourselves as well. Boundaries, super important. People are saying, heck yes, powerful, speak the truth. Dr. Jill is saying sometimes they're far away too and can't do the hands-on stuff. Absolutely. But you can give them other tasks to do, right? There are other things that you need to do. I have a friend who is managing people far away. And this is a real life example. She's like, I just told my brother he's going to start paying the bills with mom's money, but he's managing that because I'm managing mom, right? He's got to manage paying her bills, making sure that all the lights are on, all the mortgages are paid. Just take, like, you could do that remotely, right? So that's something that you can do and you can offload that task. And Dr. Jill says it can be like a frog in boiling water, right? The analogy of it just gets worse and worse and worse until we don't know and we're being boiled to death. So absolutely. Mm-hmm. I know Amy resonates with this as well. This has really been powerful information for us to glean from you. Thank you for spending the time here with us. You do have this survival guide for family caregivers, which is going to be super powerful for everyone. We're going to put the link in the chat and you can grab it right now. Tell us what they're going to get in this survival guide.
Well, I divided it up into 7 planning questions that you would need to ask before you ever agreed to do this. Ooh. And some of the important ones might be, are your finances in order? Because caregivers often spend between $8,000 and $20,000 of their own money just to be a caregiver for the privilege of not being paid. So it's important to think about all your systems before you agree to manage someone else's.
Powerful stuff. That's so good. Maybe these are things that you haven't thought of, but Deborah can get you like front of mind to make sure that you're taking care of these things in front, or at least you know what you're stepping into, right? So that you can protect yourself and your energy. This is an opportunity for you to set boundaries in the early stages rather than wait till it's too late and bad things are already starting to happen, which can actually make the whole experience of being a caregiver very traumatizing. All right, you also have an amazing VIP gift for our folks. Is that right?
Yes, I do. This is an admission ticket to a session I'm going to run, which is a sneak preview of my Rational Caregiver Bootcamp that I'm going to run. So it'll be on March 27th. And don't worry, if you can't make that date, I will run it again and we'll make sure we get everyone in. So I'm looking forward to it. It's a 2-hour session and we'll have a chance for questions and stories. So I'm really looking forward to seeing everyone there.
All right. Well, if you're not already a VIP, this alone is going to be worth it. Having an opportunity to spend time with somebody as knowledgeable and deeply read as Deborah to be able to have this guidance and care, maybe before you're stepping into a situation that might put you, you know, in over your head very quickly. Huge value here. So thank you very much for your very generous gift here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we have another amazing guest coming right up. I have to look at my list to see who's coming up next. It is Barbie Ray. You're going to love her energy. She's going to talk about, I love this talk title, Unleashing Your Inner Dragon, Transforming Adversity into Empowerment. You're going to love her energy and her style. She's awesome sauce. But before we let you go, Deborah, this has just been so enlightening for me, and I hope for everybody else as well. Before we let you go, any final words for our audience?
Yeah, I think sometimes you feel like you're on a sinking ship, the Titanic, for example. And I want you to know that the unsinkable Molly Brown was actually a family caregiver. And the only reason she was on that ship on that run was because she'd gotten word in Paris that her grandson was ailing. So she was rushing home to be with him instead of waiting for the ship she was supposed to take. Now, she saved everyone on the ship, and the heroics that she indulged in to make sure people got to lifeboats are unspeakable, the amazing energy that she put in. But that wasn't something she did every day. So that's something to remember. You don't have to be superwoman to be a good family caregiver. And your heart may be in it, but you got to let your brain restrain your heart so that you will survive.
Beautifully said. You've got to let your brain restrain your heart so you will survive. And even though the unsinkable Molly Brown was a superhero on that day, she didn't have to do rescue operations every single day of her life. What a great analogy. So I would love for you all to, if you're stepping into the caregiving world, make sure that you have those boundaries set, that you have respite time, that you're able to be outside of that so that it doesn't overwhelm you and have you get burned out. All right, ladies and gentlemen, this was a fantastic heart-centered talk from Deborah Greenhut. Thanks so much for being here. We'll see you all back at the bottom of the hour. I'm Kimberly Crow. Cheers.
Thank you.
Don't forget to save the chat. Wow. Deborah. There's a lot of
that was another
there.
Amazing session. We hope you enjoyed it as well. If you haven't already upgraded to VIP, now is the time. Grab all the recordings of all of the talks and VIP gifts worth thousands of dollars. For any questions or concerns, please email our support line at support@voicesofwomensummit.com. We will be back in a few moments with our next amazing speaker.